So what seems to have happened in 1598 is that Shakespeare's company had a falling out with their landlord, and the way he told the story in law courts, one night the company came along, took the theatre down and took it away, and when he turned up in the morning he found just the foundations and he was frustrated. We don't know how true all this is. What's fascinating about this particular document is that because he was taking his case through the various courts, this court, the Star Chamber, required violence against the state if they were going to hear a case. So he tells a story about how Shakespeare and his company turned up with swords and daggers and bills and axes and were very violent. We don't know. What we do know is that they left Shoreditch and they moved the makings of their theatre to Southwark, and they built the Globe just up the road from where the reconstructed Globe now is.
Also got the deed of transfer for the land in Southwark where the Globe came to stand. Yep. What's notable about that document?
I think there's probably two interesting things about that document. One is that it named Shakespeare as a gentleman. It's probably the first time that we see him as acquiring or as owning that status. The other thing is it lists the land that the Globe would be put on, and it makes it clear that the company could build what they wanted to build on that site. So that allowed them, for example, not just to have the theatre, but to build the pub on the back that was the theatre bar, and they also made some money from that.
So as director of the London Shakespeare Centre at King's, tell us a bit more about the Shakespeare 400 programme that you're taking a leading role in.
So Shakespeare 400 is a consortium of 25 of London's leading cultural organisations. And we set this up right back at the start of the Olympic year because it struck me that the World Shakespeare Festival that was attached to the Olympics would distract people's attention from the fact that the 400th was coming up. And I started speaking to cultural organisations, and I wanted to go beyond theatres. We absolutely wanted theatres at the heart of it, but because Shakespeare's influence has run right across the genres, we talked to opera houses and to orchestras, and of course they need a long lead time. So the conversations began right back in 2011, 2012, and have kept going right through to today. So what we hope is that anyone who wishes to can forge their own path through the hundreds of events there will be and find a new angle on their understanding of Shakespeare.
And 50 years ago in London there was a big programme for Shakespeare 350. King's played a role in that. Why is it particularly appropriate that King's is taking a leading role this time round?
So it was actually 100 years ago. It was the 1916 Shakespeare tercentenary, and the figure who appears as leading the various committees that were setting out to create events for that tercentenary was a professor of English at King's called Israel Galantz. He was the uncle of the publisher Victor Galantz. And he was an absolutely fascinating figure. He was clearly funny and genial and determined. And despite the First World War, he managed to set up processes that had enormous outcomes. So the Shakespeare Memorial National Theatre Committee that he chaired eventually, took 50 or 60 years, created the National Theatre. So his involvement, although it was held back by the First World War, was something that we wanted in a way to emulate. We thought if King's had led the charge then, why can't it now? And our primary partner for 15 years now has been Shakespeare's Globe. We've run a master's degree jointly with Globe Education. And so we began our conversations with Patrick Spottiswoode, Director of Education at the Globe, and the conversations rolled out from there. So in a way, Shakespeare 400 has its origins right where Shakespeare actually had his own playhouse.